I was thinking about making something specifically to Catholic schools, but then I thought, nah, they'll get enough of that this week. We all know that that is, as I said in my introductory, the primary mission of what we do as the Catholic Church is to pass on the faith and to encourage and to show how we live the faith. Well, I think the homily that I had prepared for this weekend is very central to that, because if you recall, before Christmas, as we were leading up in the season of Advent, we've been walking through the Mass, what the Mass is. And we left off with the Eucharist, or with the Eucharistic prayer, with the consecration. And so today we take a look at Holy Communion and what communion is. I think a good way to look at it is in the sense of food. We all need food, right? We know that. But sometimes we go out and we want junk food. We want that sugar. We want those carbs. We want the stuff that's going to satisfy me right now. But it doesn't satisfy for very long. We get a crash and we're tired. That initial burst of energy. Nothing sticks with us like a home-cooked meal, right? The Eucharist is God's home-cooked meal. For us, it's food for our journey, this journey through life to eternal life. It's a spiritual journey as well as a physical journey. And just as we need food for our bodies, we need food for our souls. The Israelite people experienced a very similar thing. After Moses came and they left Egypt, they thought back on what they had left behind. All of the luscious, the good, scrumptious food, the rich, choicy wines. And they had left it all behind. All of the cucumbers, the leeks, the melons, these things we read about in sacred scripture. And they had full bellies. But in their full bellies, their spirit was starved. They were malnourished. And they had a difficult time of realizing that. And so they complained against Moses and against God because they were hungry, because they were thirsty, because they got tired of the manna and they wanted meat. Kind of like going on a road trip today, we can just fill up at all the gas stations every time we stop, and we go in and we buy all the pop and all the chips and all the candy and the things that we're going to need for that next section of the trip. But our bodies know. Our bodies know that they're not being nourished. They're not being fed. And God knew that His people needed more than all of this rich food that the Egyptians were able to give them. So He gives them what the Egyptians cannot. He sends them manna. If you want to know what manna looked like, yesterday afternoon, about 3 o'clock, he stepped outside, saw that white, fluffy snow. The Israelite people walked out of their tents one morning and it looked like that. It looked like this white, fluffy snow. What is it? That's what manna means. What is it? And so the Israelite people were fed the bread of angels. But that wasn't enough for them. They desired meat, and so they complained again. And God sends quail every night, covers the camp. And they have more quail than they can eat. And He does this for the 40 years, all the time while they're traveling through the desert. They have manna every morning, and they have quail every night. And they're complaining because they don't have all the fresh water that they want. So Moses goes, and he strikes the rock with his staff, and fresh water flows from the rock. Fresh water followed them for 40 years as well. God was truly taking care of them as He takes care of us. And just as they were on a journey into the promised land, we are on a journey to the promised land. We are on our journey to our true home in heaven. Our ancestors ate the bread of angels. They ate the manna in the desert, but they died. But we are promised that he who eats of Jesus Christ, the true food and the true drink, whoever eats this bread, whoever drinks this drink, will have eternal life welling up within them. So we begin our communion rite with the Our Father, this prayer of unity. We don't pray my Father. We don't pray to I. We pray to our Father, coming together as one. But it is also a prayer of giving glory to God. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, and it is a prayer of petition. Give us this day our daily bread, and a prayer of mercy. Forgive us our trespasses, and at the same time, probably the hardest part of that entire prayer to truly pray is a prayer of conversion, as I forgive others who have trespassed against me. And it is a prayer of protection. Deliver us, Lord, from all evil, leading us into the sign of peace. This should recall the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. If you bring your altar, if you bring your gift to the altar and recognize your brother or your sister has something against you, leave your gift and go and be reconciled, and then come and offer your gift. This is the time to go there spiritually. And after we reflect and we conclude that we need the gift of confession, by all means, take advantage at your next opportunity. But this is the time to go and to be spiritually cleansed before God, to leave those trespasses behind us. This is what it means when the priest in the sign of peace says, "Peace be with you." And your response is not as a normal response, a normal conversation, but it is, "And with your spirit." Recognizing that it is the Spirit of Christ that through the priest that is being offered, and our response is we are making peace with God by letting go of the trespasses that we have done and that have been done to us by our fellow travelers. And then we have the breaking of the bread, where the priest takes the large host that is consecrated and breaks it, just as Christ's body was broken upon the cross for each one of us. And then a small fragment is added to that wine, signifying there is no difference between the body and the blood, the soul and divinity of Jesus Christ. Every drop of his blood was offered for the forgiveness of sins, for your salvation and mine. His body, scourged, crowned with thorns, carrying his cross, falling three times on the way to Calvary. Everything given up for our salvation. And then that broken host is held up over the cup of salvation. Behold the Lamb of God. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Do you recognize where that comes from? Early in his ministry, and Jesus comes back to Capernaum. And as he's entering into the city, a Roman centurion, a very powerful military official at the time, comes up to Christ. This man commands 100 soldiers, but he has a servant, a nobody, who is dying. And yet he is somebody to this man, and he comes to Christ asking for his help. And as Jesus is making preparations to go to his house, in humility, the centurion says, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter into my house, under my roof, but only say the word and your servant will be healed. For I too am a person subject to authority, with soldiers subject to me. I say to one, go, and he goes. I say to another, come, and he comes. I say to another, do this, and he does this." He is a man of high office. He's not like one of the lepers. He's not a social outcast. He's got a position in society. He's not like one of the sinful Samaritans. And yet, in humility, he comes to Christ, much like Naaman, seeking healing for a slave. And Jesus is amazed. "Amen, I say to you, in no one in Israel have I found such faith." This should be our prayer as we come to receive the Lord in the Holy Communion. And as we come forward, we have various postures. We can come forward kneeling and standing to receive. Kneeling has traditionally been the norm. It symbolizes supplication and surrender, a couple things that kind of go against our core, especially as Americans, but it is very appropriate to recognize that we are coming before the divine. Standing, on the other hand, signifies respect, but it also signifies a readiness to act, a readiness to receive Christ and to take him into the world, to go on our mission, to become his disciples, to become his martyrs. And then when we receive, we've got two options as well. We can receive on the tongue, we can receive on the hand. Both have very significant significance as well. To receive on the tongue, like kneeling, signifies that humility. For many, they say that it is a more profound experience of receiving, not actively taking. But if we choose to receive on the hand, do as St. Cyril of Alexandria instructs. Don't come with your fingers spread. Don't come and grab the host. Come and create a throne You're receiving the King of Kings. So create a throne with one hand supported by the other to receive as the priest or the Eucharistic minister places the host upon your palm. And then to recognize who it is that you are receiving so that you may be transformed. And then, just as at a dinner, you know, we go out to eat. And what happens when we're done eating? As soon as that last bite of steak is taken, we get up and we run out the door, right? No. Just as at a meal at a fine restaurant, when we're done eating at any restaurant, when we're done eating, now is a time for conversation. Now is a time to enjoy the company of those that we are with. That's more important, really, than the eating, is to be in communion. And that's what the time after Holy Communion is about. It's not a time to race for the parking lot. It's a time of prayer, a time to grow in communion with the one that we have just received. A great post-communion prayer is the Anima Christi of St. Thomas Aquinas, or the Suscipe prayer of St. Ignatius of Loyola. I'll print these both up in the bulletin for next week to give us something that we can have physically in front of us. Hopefully these reflections that we've had leading through Advent today, finish up next week, hopefully these things bring us to a more intentional reality or more intentional awareness of why we're here, of what we're celebrating, of what we are doing, to become more profoundly aware of all of these things, to help us in our active participation. That's something that many of the popes have talked about, is how do we enter into this active participation? It is about doing things. We need servers, we need lectors, we need ushers, we need all of these things. But more importantly, these things have to flow from the interior. And that is where that active participation comes from. A full participation, a full awareness of who we are, of what we are celebrating, and who we are receiving.
Please join us after Mass today for coffee and rolls as we begin our celebration of Catholic Schools Week. This is sponsored by the Knights of Columbus, and all are welcome. This Wednesday evening is Family Fun Night at St. Gabriel's School Hall, beginning with a burger and fries supper from 4:30 to 6:15 p.m. There will be no freshman confirmation class this week. The UTV in Wisconsin Dells raffle will be held Thursday evening. Tickets are still available. The first drawing for the 2019 calendar raffle will be next Sunday. The next weekend at 8 a.m. Mass will be at St. John's, and the 10 a.m. Mass will be at St. Gabriel's, followed by the Swiss steak dinner. Script will be sold after Mass.
So next weekend only for the morning Masses, we flip them. Next weekend only. So the 10 o'clock will be down at St. Gabriel's, and then followed with the Swiss steak dinner. Also, yesterday we had a pretty good first time try at the pizza sales, but we made extras. So if you would like to try some of the pizzas that we made, they're available after the Mass in the hall.